all the members of the Board of Finance. Do we need to wait for Maggie, or do we need to wait for Kevin or anybody?
Maggie's currently already here. She's in as an attendee.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
And Kevin contacted.
Well, let's go on ahead at 7:01. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Members present, and as Ken was saying, I actually just got something that said my internet was unstable, so hopefully it won't have huge issues. But we have the members of the Board of Finance present, Vice Chair Ken Humphrey. We have, my goodness, Maggie King. We have, or excuse me, oh my gosh, not doing a very good job at this. We have Katie Keeney, we have Sarah Faulkner, we have John Webb, and we have Andrew Lavery, along with Bob Bessel and Bob Skinner and Maggie King. So thank you all for joining. With this, we have public participation, but to my knowledge, Bill, keep me honest, I don't believe that we received any emails or any public comment for our meeting tonight. Okay. So with that, we're going to move on to the monthly reports for the month of January, correct?
Yes.
All right. So the agenda, I believe, says December. I just caught that, but it's think January 2021.
Oh, yes.
So as I was coming to Bill when I first got on, you know, Bill added a new exhibit to our packet that is a detailed kind of line item review of some of the budget balances that are out of balance. So I'll have you just start with the general fund revenues and expenses, but please, you know. Yes, Sarah?
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. So I've got a question for Bill before he gets started, though.
Okay.
So Bill, by the way, I love this. This is really helpful. I'm seeing all the detailed line item stuff. What I was having trouble with was all the detailed reports came through as a Word document this time, not as a PDF, as we've got them in the past. And I don't know how to highlight it. So I wanted to ask a stupid question, because normally I go through it with, I use Adobe, and I just hit it with a highlighter, and all the bookmarks are there and everything, and this time it came through as a Word document without all that.
Uh-huh. Well, you can definitely highlight in Word.
Word document.
It was sent in PDF, yeah. So I don't know how that changed document.
Open as a .docx. All right, I'll play with it while you're talking then. Maybe there's another way to open this thing.
It might be defaulting to .docx to open. You may have to change it. Maybe to PDF. It shouldn't recognize PDF, though.
I've never done that before, though. It's kind of...
That's weird. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let me play with that. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to, because I went through it and I wanted to highlight stuff and I couldn't, and I was so frustrated. Okay.
All right, but yeah, so Bill, maybe if you could just give us highlights, and then Board, I'll leave it to you guys to ask questions if there's things, rather than have Bill read us the memo. I thought that it would be helpful for him to just give us some of the key highlights, anything that's maybe new news, and then we can ask questions on, and we'll start with the revenues first.
Okay, thank you, Jen. Good evening, everyone. Page 2 starts the January 2021 financial highlights memo. I'd like to point out that the year-to-date revenues are ahead of last year at 87.87% compared to 87.46%, which means that we're trending the same as last year, which is a good thing. In spite of the pandemic, the tax collections is doing very well, collecting 92.04%. I did speak with the tax collector. She's anticipating an approximate 98.5% of our budget by the end of the year. Interest income, I just wanted to continue to point out, because I've been keeping a close eye on it, we are continuing to trend towards 50% of budgeted. We anticipate two more rounds of the people's interest along with the other interest received, and we're going to probably be at about 50%. Other highlights as far as revenue, I don't have much else. I mean, we did get the COVID relief as well as the tax offset, which totals about 160,000 I'm going to look into see if there's anything additional we can get, but I'm not optimistic with that because I don't believe he may extend it. But I think we're in pretty good shape as far as the funds we have received. We do have an opportunity now to potentially collect for the tropical storm from August. So we're going to be working on a FEMA application for that as well. I'll keep you posted next. I'll have a figure by next month's meeting. That's all I have for the revenues for the general fund, unless anyone has any questions in particular.
Questions? All right. And Sarah, yeah.
Yeah, Bill, I really like these reports. I'm wondering if it's possible for you to actually put the dollars into them as you put them in. Because what I did is I went through and found them so I could figure out, because you would say, for example, on I insurance rebates, no, you had the number on that one. Board of Ed preschool on A, lower than expected. And it's helpful to actually have the number in there. So whether we're talking $300 or $300,000 makes a difference. I don't know how much trouble that is for you, but.
Not a problem. I'm doing it all anyway. It's just I was just trying to reduce the size of this memo. It was turning into a 5-6 page or so, but that's not an issue at all. I can do the front end too.
That'd be helpful because otherwise I was flipping and searching for it. And you're putting in, especially with the expenses, putting in the line number, you know, where you could find it. That was very helpful.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
One question I had was on the tax collection being projected at 98.5. And I know we actually only budgeted 99% of what we thought we could bill back at the time, right? So if we're going to collect 98.5, just as we get into budget season, I was trying to recall, and I can't, you know, what do we typically end the year at? Do we typically end at something less than budgeted, or do we usually, because I think in the past we've done 99.5 or recent years prior to this, the projection to be 98.5 was a little bit of a surprise to me, and I'm just more trying to think through, and I know it's just a projection, but do we typically end closer to budgeted on taxes? Either of you know?
Jen, this is Ken. I'm going to say yes, if not better. That's what we, at least in the last 10 years. I don't know the time that we actually came in under what we budgeted for. Bob, Mr. Skinner, do you remember anything in the last 10 years? I don't
know. I would concur. I can't remember coming in under. Most recently, we've been at 99 or above. I did ask the tax collector to give me a list over the last few years. And I think most of them were right around 99 or above. And I think we'll come in higher than 98.5. I think we're basically just being conservative. But, you know, hey, we anticipate that we'll meet budget. My guess is we may come in a little above that. Especially since we're tracking the same as we did last year. Last year we came in at 99, I think. So we should be closer.
Sorry, I think here's just my question is it 98.5 of budgeted or 98.5 of billed that we're projecting?
Of billed. Okay. We're anticipating that we'll bring in 98.5% of what we bill.
Okay, which will only be about a half a point lower than what we budgeted, and maybe it'll be okay. So
I think we budgeted that we would collect 98.5, right?
Right. Yeah, we dropped we dropped from 98.99 to 98.5.
You did.
That would be the impact of COVID.
Okay, I had in my brain I had 99.5 going to 99, but you guys are telling me it was 99 went to 98.5. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi. No other questions. I'll move on to the general fund expenses. For year-to-date expenses for the general fund, we're at 67.5% compared to 66.3% at the same time last year. Just something I wanted to share to minimize any sort of confusion when it comes to the encumbrances. In the past, you know, we had system allocations that handled the salary charges back to WPCA, Park and Rec, and EMS. So you never saw the finance department, tax collector running over. Now you will see that because it's handled manually, and we're doing them after each quarter is over. So I just wanted to point that out so that we could avoid kind of asking questions. I looked at those accounts and they're running according to budget. Although they do show interim encumbrances that are bringing them over budgeted until we get to do that allocation. Okay. Anyone have any questions on that? And as far as pointing out any other items, I believe I covered them all in my notes. I don't have anything that's new or that's worthy of being pointed out. If anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to address them.
That's,
I'm sorry, Ken, do you have questions?
Good. Well, I did, but I saw your hand up, so.
No, go ahead first. I've already talked a couple times, so you may hear
okay. You had about the mining team here for the senior and social services dialogue ride. Expenses is greater than budgeted due to a higher number of enhanced rides. .. Was an enhanced ride? Because I know we added some money into that this last year, if I'm right, or we expanded it.
I don't really know more about it, but we have a catchment area that we get a specific rate to when they go outside of the area. There's, I guess, additional charges, where it's described, as well as for specific reasons why we are making those rides, which it's been with COVID appointments and things like that.
So those are enhanced rides. Yeah. So if I'm right, we did expand this. The power ride for this year. Am I right? I'm seeing some
hits. Yes.
Okay, thanks. So that's why it caught me off a little guard. It says, well, we've expanded it, and then all of a sudden now we're paying more. So that's why I was like, what's an enhanced ride? That's why I wanted clarifications. I understand if we're taking it out for the vaccinations and stuff like that, we just have to deal with it. That I understand.
That was on my question list too. We did increase it last year, and we've got the OPM money coming in to offset a number of expenses. I didn't know if we can apply that toward this. Last month we were told that it was pretty much fully allocated, but I don't know if we can reimburse this fund effectively or cover it.
Well, I have reached out. I have to speak with the auditor on how other municipalities are handling and what they recommend. But right now, we do have that revenue sitting in the general fund, and I'll take a look at whether we can reimburse back any of those overages that are due to the COVID.
Okay. That was my question in this section as well. Was that there were a couple of things, including the purchasing the Zoom meeting and webinar license, the overage on mailing volume due to the presidential elections, and the overtime hourly for the town hall disinfecting, all of which seemed like COVID expenses, and I wasn't sure which of those might be reimbursable either now or if there is a new federal bill that gives state and local aid coming up.
Yeah, the labor and the cleaning, emergency response, the transportation for COVID, those have all been things that were deemed reimbursable and part of CRS. As far as the, and I would have thought, but as far as the licenses for Zoom, they weren't after further review with FEMA. How they would expect, and I would imagine it's different for each state, how they would expect we would be able to handle these meetings. But because it's for the normal course of business handling and not for a direct response for emergency relief and for the safety of the community. I know I sound like a record here.
No, it's not your fault.
I've argued this to ad nauseum with FEMA, but it hasn't been deemed as a CRF reimbursable expense. But and we have plenty of expense to offset. So that is my question to the auditor on how we can handle this, because I'm more than happy to get this applied to appropriately reduce those areas that were most impacted.
Or should we expect an quote unquote overage in our revenue that then offsets an overage in expense? It's helpful to know which things, as you're calling them out as COVID related, which ones were part of the 130, I think it's 131,000, I could have the number wrong, that we've received versus which ones were extraneous. I was curious on the dial ride, I didn't know it was gonna get such a topic. Do we get to gather more revenue, right? So it did look to me like the dial ride revenue was higher, but if we are going outside our catchment area, I just didn't know the policy. Do we get to charge more that we would expect to offset that expense, or are we at risk for the enhanced and outside our catchment area, that stuff?
The thing we need to remember is there's really two programs. There's one, there's the dial ride program, which is pretty straightforward. It was a little different because of COVID. We've taken less passengers because you only put so many passengers in the dial-a-ride van, but there's the dial-a-ride service. And then there's the other transportation services that provide, for example, for medical trips or recreational trips, those type of things. That's what we actually put additional funding in, from my memory. Dial-a-ride's contractual, it's set by the agreement we had with Martel, and it goes out a certain amount of times a week. We have a driver for it and all those kind of things. And then there's other services that we purchase more related to specific instances, such as somebody's medical needs or for recreation, which obviously we haven't had a whole lot of recreation trips. So some of those may actually be medical related or non-dial-a-ride. We have used dial-a-ride right along. We're pretty well there. Not all towns continue to dial-a-ride. We were able to through the whole COVID situation. I'm not sure what the enhancement is. Unless Jessica spoke to you directly, Bill, but I don't know of that many trips going outside our area. Normally we just wouldn't anyways. That's kind of our contractual area. So we also had, and I don't know where it was billed to, but we had some additional expenses connected with the dial ride to modify the van, so that we can use it during COVID purposes. We put a filtration system in it. We put a certain light that's supposed to act against COVID. Some of those expenses, I'm not sure, might have been written off against dial-a-ride. We can look into that. But I don't know of a great deal of enhancement outside of our district. So we can look more into that and get an additional answer for you.
Are there other questions from the group?
I've got a few. I was actually kind of disturbed when I looked at a number of things. It looks like there are a number of overages that I thought we had cut out of the budget last year, when we had to cut things. The snowblower on number 7 was what I thought that we had said, we just can't do it this year, and it got purchased. There's a new 8-foot plow under the highway on number 14. We've got the police facility new air conditioning condenser for over $9,000. I just am wondering, I mean, because I don't think these were in the, I think they were deliberately taken out of the budget when the budget had to come down. And it looks like they've been purchased. And I'm sure, Bob, you're planning on offsetting those in some way so you still come in at budget. But it just kind of bothered me to see them there. So I wanted to ask about them.
And the police, I think, is that was a repair type item. I don't think we had any options with the police.
It says to replace the air conditioning condenser unit, which was not included with the prior efficiency upgrade.
Yeah, I spoke with Chris about that. If the unit failed and they had no choice but to replace it, this was during the summertime.
And we weren't anticipating that was going to happen?
No.
Sarah, my gut says it's those things that the town tells us we need to purchase because we're at the end of our useful life and it's going to run out and we press it during the budget season. But then when something happens, then we probably, to your point, have to spend the money and then put ourselves in a situation to, and the town, Bob, to manage to some, you know, still get back the budget.
Yeah, I get that, you know, when that happens. I just want to make sure that we're not sliding things in later on, which is, that was just, I was just a little concerned that maybe like, gee, we didn't get in the budget, but let's go buy it anyway. So, but if it does fail, I mean, that happens in all of our houses, and you don't have a choice to fix it.
And this is Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, everybody, but we don't have line item veto or line item authority to remove specific things from the budget. We could say, you know, we reduce the budget by 10,000, 20, 50,000, whatever. And we might be, and I know when I do this, I might look at things. If I want to reduce the budget, I think we can maybe knock, say, 1% off the budget. I'll look for specific line items that I personally would hold off on. And then that's how I come up with my dollar amount. If I say, hey, let's reduce it by $200,000. But if we say, if you have those line items in your mind, and you have those particular purchases you think the town should hold off on, and we reduce the budget by that dollar amount, the town can still go out and purchase those items so long as we're still on budget, correct? Yeah, because we don't have line item veto.
Andrew, thank you very much. I was gonna say the obvious on that. Sarah, I know I ran into this before myself personally, and I had to learn that aspect of it. Don't take it personal from the Board of Selectmen towards the Board of Finance that they did something we told them not to do, because they are going to do it anyways because we don't have line item veto. They want the freaking plow. They're going to buy the plow. They're just not going to build a gazebo somewhere in town. That's all.
Yeah, and I do understand that. I do. What I don't want to see and have seen happen occasionally, not very often, but they come back at the end of the year and say, oh, we're short and we need additional money.
Right. And then, but then that's when you get to sit there, but Bob, you bought a plow and we told you not to. Absolutely. You can put it right back to it.
And that's fine. We just won't plow that street. You know, there's times when we just don't have a whole lot of options there. You know, we take things out of the budget to try to keep it low, and I think we've done a really good job of that. But at some point, push comes to shove. And if it comes to choice of plowing a street or not, we've got to plow the street. We are going to be over in DPW, no doubt about it. But it's like salt. We said we're only going to purchase 130 tons of salt because we had some left in the shed. Well, guess what? We're way over. What do you want us to do? Not buy any more salt? At some point, we got to buy what's necessary to complete the operations of the town. And if a snowblower is out, I'm going to pay a lot more workers' comp claims trying to have everybody shovel those sidewalks instead of using a snowblower. So, you know, we got to do what we got to do.
I don't mean to be laughing, but I already got a year from somebody today to pull the East Hill Road. And I'm like, yeah, well, as soon as they get the plow up here, you'll be okay. So I understand that. So, Sarah, that's what happened.
Are there other line items that you wanted to ask questions on?
Okay. Nope. Oh, good. Thank you.
No, Andrew, thank you. I mean, I think it's a reminder for all of us. So, thanks, Andrew. I was going to also jump in with that. And all right, any other questions, Bob, or did anybody else have other general fund expense questions?
Not a question, and I can't remember if I said this last time or not, but with the excess, I know I'm feeling like I'm losing my mind. With the excess on the tree care that's coming from Emerald Ash Borer, I just want to make sure that as we go into the next budget year, we make sure that we're budgeting enough for tree care, because that's going to be a big one going forward for the next several years.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The land trust is dealing with a lot of that right now.
Yeah, I'm dealing with it at my house.
We'll be seeing, as Katie said, we're going to see a lot more of it. So that's a good thing to sort of keep in mind for the spring
when we
get into budgets.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the special revenue funds and expenses. And again, Bill, appreciate the exhibits you've been giving. Unless if you have highlights, I would actually like to ask the team, did anybody have questions as you went through the special revenue fund? Unless if Bill, there was something you wanted to cover before we move to questions.
Nothing in particular, unless anyone has questions.
I'm looking for my highlight.
Hey, this really did open as a doc. Isn't that weird? I stored it and stored as a PDF, and then I could open it as a PDF, but it originally opened automatically as a doc. I don't, it's never done that before. It's so bizarre.
Yes, Ken.
Just a clarification on the shed for the transfer station.
Yeah, but
Go ahead. I read the minutes. This is my report from the Board of Selectmen.
It's been approved by the Board of Selectmen. They have funding enough to build the shed. We have the contractor in place. They're actually going to start working on it about a month ago. And then obviously the weather changed. And there's a concern about even being able to get the piers in the ground at this point. So they're going to hold off a few more weeks. And then hopefully the weather changes, clears up a little bit. We'll go ahead and construct it.
Okay, good. And thank you for speaking, because it allowed me the time to clarify my question. You said that, we got through the minutes, I got confused between this year's budget and next year's budget from what I'm reading in the minutes. I just wanted to clarify, we already have the money currently for the new shed. We don't have to tap next year's budget, right?
That's correct. The money's okay. In the CIP, and it's there currently, so it doesn't require any additional appropriations.
Okay, that's what I wanted to clarify. Thank you, Mark.
I would, if I may, Jen, just two things under special revenue. One is the Park and Rec special revenue account. That is going to end as a deficit at the end of the year. They've made enough money to pay the cost of the programs that they're doing. In fact, many of them the staff themselves are doing instead of bringing them outside to run those programs. But because of all the additional items that we've included in special revenue over the years, we've taken items that used to be funded for through the general fund and moved them over to special revenue, which is perfectly fine because they were making significant money at the time and it made sense to do so. But with the limited revenues coming in, there's just not enough money within the special revenue account to pay for some of those things. So we're anticipating that'll end up probably in the 40,000 range deficit, but they've got significant reserve in order to fund that. It's a shame they got to go in reserve to do it, but because of the limited amount of programming they could do because of COVID, that's they're doing the best they can. So but that is going to fall short. The other item that's going to fall short is under emergency services, contracted services specifically within that line item, which is the VinTech account where we pay for our paramedics and our EMTs, the hired service. That is going to be over. I've asked the chief about that, and basically what I got back is that it's volunteer related, but also related to COVID, and that we've had less volunteers because of illnesses and other things related to COVID. Also, it's been more difficult to bring in new volunteers and get them trained because of COVID. And so that we've had to rely more on VinTech. It is, a bit concerning. We need to have more volunteers in order to fill more shifts. Because we are supposed to, the EMTs during the evening hours, nighttime hours, and on weekend, supposed to be by volunteers. And they're just running short. And if they run short, then they go to VinTech and have somebody come in on the paid staffing. So that's VinTech's over also, just to give you a heads up that those two are going to come in over budget.
Yes, Ken.
I just want to give you feedback to the town. Last year, was it 2 years ago, we voted to increase the qualification for the medics on those ambulances to a higher, instead of our first aid where we actually had a technician on those ambulances. I got a tremendous feedback from a person who had to take an ambulance ride that they were very appreciative that when they showed up, they actually had somebody that could administer them pain medicine and stuff like that and talk to them. They were quite this is my word, flabbergasted that we actually had a trained individuals on those ambulances. They're very appreciative. Not that I want you guys to put more in your budget, but they said, I don't care how much that costs. I don't mind picking for it for the town. So,
yeah, we just need
feedback to everybody.
Oh, thank you. We went to a paramedic level service.
That's it.
Okay. So we have a paramedic that's on every shift 24/7. But we don't have any volunteer paramedics. Actually, we have one. I think they do one shift a week. But primarily, it's paid for out of Intech.
Okay.
Yes.
Bob, do you have any estimate on that, what the overage is going to be? It looks to me, with the encumbrance and the line item, we're just expected to be on budget. And it was very helpful, at least to me, to hear the 40 to 50, you know, the 40,000. And I don't think EMS is one with the fund. So if there's going to be an overage, I think that's the incumbent on us. So I'm curious on an estimate.
I checked today. It looks like we have about 17,000 in reserve, which will be significantly over. At a minimum, probably 60,000 over. You know, that's just basically taking what they've done to date, dividing it by 7, multiplying out times 12. It looks like it comes out about 60,000 over. So that's, you know,
probably. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other questions on the special revenue funds? All right, let's move on to investment income, which I believe is on page 38 of our packages. I have that correct.
So for the investment income, I already covered this a bit. I anticipate that would be about 50% of the budgeted for the year. We still, if you look at the analysis, about two more payments for the largest account, people's coming in, but that's still will only get us to the $60,000 or so dollar mark, $60,000 to $80,000. I'm just trying to look for anything that's worthy of noting here. We already addressed the tax collector as well. So I really don't have any additional highlights unless anyone has questions.
Yeah.
I got a question. I guess a few months ago, Bob, you forwarded the statute to us with regards to what funds or investment opportunities those dollars could go to. I guess is there ever any thought to considering other investments, whether it's looking at different agency bonds or treasuries, munis? I mean, obviously, you know, rates are low and even lower if you have to, you know, have the higher bond ratings. But I guess, have we ever looked at that to consider taking some of the funds and maybe doing a bond ladder or something?
Well, for the most part, I would punt to the treasurer for an answer for that. But I will tell you, we did look at it at one time, actually bundling some CDs together and purchasing CDs at a time period when the interest rate was so low. They were like a half a point higher, and we were looking at doing that. And the chair at the time, the finance at the time didn't want to move forward with that, and I understand why. And we do have People's Bank. That's one of their roles is to invest funds outside of what we would normally invest with STIP and some of the state accounts that may not be giving us such a high interest rate. But even right now, they're not doing that good. So, Bill, I don't know if you have anything else to add.
No, they are not performing very well, although on the pension side of things are going very well. With the limitations in place with this, we're going to have much opportunity with the cost of doing it. So I can look into it further. I mean, on the positive side, looking for a little bit of a rebound towards summertime, but I didn't see much of an opportunity.
Maybe a question for the board. I know the individuals from Peoples have spoken to the board before. I think it potentially has been a couple of years, like John and Andrew. I'm not sure that they've been on since you guys were part of the board. So I guess, and Katie, one question would be, would people like, and Bill, could we, if if the board would like, could we arrange to have someone from Peoples come talk to us about the investment strategy and their performance?
This is Andrew. I'd be all for that.
I'd be for it.
Can I throw one thing in here? I don't know if anybody caught the news today that M&T Bank has purchased People's United Bank. That announcement came out in the Hartford Business Journal today, so I'm not sure what kind of answer we're going to really be able to get out of people at this point. So,
hey, Bob, your voice broke up right at the beginning of your sentence. What do they do? They merge?
Yeah, M&T Bank out of New York has purchased People's United. In the short term, the services they offer are really not going to change. But in terms of what investment opportunities they offer and what kind of service they have, that now starts to get going to play. So we'll have to see.
And it seems like everybody was interested even before Bob highlighted that. I do get your point, Bob, that potentially their investment strategy and guidance could change. But we do have, I believe it's close to $5 million lined up with them, and the board hasn't gotten an update on the strategy recently. I do feel like it would be prudent for us to get one and be able to ask some questions. Is everybody okay if we move forward? Now, granted, I know the March and April, unfortunately. Our March meeting is with the Board of Selectmen budget. So maybe if people could let me know, do we want a longer meeting in March, but yet have the insight for the budget process, or are we comfortable if we would wait maybe till May or June when the budget process would be essentially over, but we could still ask questions and give guidance? I can argue both sides of that coin. Yes.
Another option, maybe just because of all that's going on, I could also ask them for an overview and the current strategy and just in the meantime, so I can get some information shared.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, I think if we could get that for the budget season, so we have that going in, and then the second thing would be to ask if they could come visit us sometime in the, maybe June timeframe, if you needed to give them a heads up, because I'm going to be optimistic that by our June meeting, we will have a budget passed. I'm going to try and not carry that out as long as we did last year.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Good question, John. Any other questions for investment income or tax collection? All right. Let's move on. We don't have a Board of Education update. I actually do have a revenue question that I will send through to Kevin about the Hartford $300,000 that we collect on the special education. I just want to make sure we're still in line to expect that amount. So let's move on. Board of Selectmen updates and referrals. Bob or Bob, I don't know who wants to start.
Well, I can give you a couple of things and then Bob, I'm sure, will fill in the rest. We do have some good news on Axe Factory. Someone has come forward and is currently in negotiation with the owner on that property. They haven't concluded an agreement yet, but this outfit looks serious, and they look like they could actually pull it off. So we'll see how that turns out. As I told the board last week, we've been here before many times. But we're optimistic that can go forward. As we all know, there's a development at 3-5 Cherrybrook Road, which is the shovels are digging away. And our grand list is, we reported that that's gone up by 1.46%. So, those are all good things. We are working, we're still trying to get some answers from the DOT on Streetscape. We are still waiting for their final approval to send out bid documents to contractors and start getting responses. It's an ongoing source of frustration. are afraid that we may miss yet another construction season for that project. I believe that the town bridge, that's pretty much settled, or are we, Bob, is that the, are we?
Town bridge, we actually should be in relatively good shape. There's some issues involving some fees to the engineers. We've got those straightened out. Right now, I talked to the actual contractor last week. The bridge should be coming back mid to late March, and then will be painted on site in late April. They need a certain temperature before they can do it for a certain amount of time. It'll probably be late April before they get that right temperature, and then start construction sometime in May, June. Have it completed in the summer. Just one other thing on the streetscape. One thing that we did get final determination on the streetscape was that the public restrooms could not be part of the project that we would get reimbursed from the grant from. So we originally, this was something that was very important to the shop owners down in Conswell, that they wanted to have a public restroom as part of that project. We located a place where it could be located in town hall. It was a $65,000 item, and they said it was outside the scope of the work and couldn't be included in the project. So the Board of Selectmen will be having a discussion on that coming up, and it's going to be part of the project and it's going to have to be paid for out of other sources. You may look to try to do it from the CIP. So, but that was disappointing.
You guys have a snowblower you could sell or something?
Nah, I need that snowblower to pay for the salt. just to give you an idea of kind of the frustrations on that. We applied for the street state grant to pay for lighting, sidewalks, and all these other things. And part of the component of that grant is they require you have, and it's the correct thing to do to have communications with stakeholders, with people in the area, businesses, all those kind of things. And I had an idea that people were looking for a public restroom already, but certainly one of the first things that came out of that conversation was that people said we needed a public restroom. So when we hired, or when we did the scope of work for an engineer to design the project, we put in there part of the scope of work would be to do a public restroom. That scope of work was approved by DOT. As the designer designs the project and includes in it the public restroom, there were bills that had to be approved by DOT, and right on them it said design of public restroom. They approved those bills. So the designs come out, it's got a public restroom on it. We send those designs off to DOT. The DOT reviews those designs and approves them. And again, it included the public restroom. Based on those designs, we draft an RFP, and that RFP needs to be approved by DOT before it can be done. Obviously, part of the scope of that RFP that the contractor would have to build was the public restroom. At that point, in the review of the RFP, DOT comes back and says, oh, wait a minute, the public restroom is outside the scope of the grant and can't be included in the project. You're kidding me. We outlined, these are all the different steps we went through that included a public restroom. And nowhere along that whole path did anybody ever say you couldn't have a public restroom.
Yeah,
so we fought it for a while, and we've kind of come to the end, and it's just not going to be part of a project that'll be reimbursable through. So that's kind of how it ended up.
While we're talking about bridges, I saw the notes here from your meetings about the West Road Bridge resident group emailing you about, you have to clarify it, about residents being able to walk across that bridge.
What they had requested was that we would pay for, reconstruct the bridge, but the bridge then would only be open for pedestrian traffic and for emergency vehicles.
And what we clarified was that, and DOT was pretty clear about this, was that we couldn't use the grant unless the bridge was going to be open to the public after it was rebuilt, which kind of makes sense. And so, you know, we went back to that the neighborhood group and, you know, told them, certainly, I completely understand why you brought the concept forward, but it has to be open to the public if we're going to use this grant to rebuild it. And the only way it's going to get rebuilt is through the grant. So, you know, the bottom line is it will be open to the public after it's rebuilt.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. That's how I interpreted it, but I couldn't believe that they were asking for it other than, and I understand this, they're probably enjoying the lack of traffic on the road.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But when we explained the ramifications of it, how much it would cost the town, they kind of got the idea.
Okay, thank you.
What other updates do you have for us, Bob?
I don't have anything else. You know, I guess the only thing, Adam, I mentioned, we kind of already went over it, but I guess Sarah is going to have a chance to yell at me about snowblowers and snowplows because DPW will be over. I sent you this, the winter report. They're going to be over and certainly salt and maybe even overtime by the time they get to the end of the year. The other two things that they have working against them is one is COVID, that they're spending a lot of overtime pushing on the weekends coming in and cleaning the police department and fire stations. And that's costing some money. They used to come in twice a day. We've now reduced it to once a day, and we have to talk about even reducing it further than that. The other and a major component is the PFAS. With the additional cost up at Cherry Brook School, we have to meet a $75,000 deductible. That deductible is not budgeted anywhere, so we've been taking out of DPW's town maintenance. So if you've seen account called town maintenance, if we budget $15,000 in there, we're already over $30,000. That's why, because that's the account where the PFAS is coming out of. We probably got on another $14,000 before we hit the $75,000 deductible. So that line item will be over also. When you add all those three line items up, it comes out to somewhere around $70,000, I believe.
You anticipate, Bob, that you'll, and Bob, that kind of will be able to manage, like, get it right. Some things are going to be over, some things are going to be under, but do we anticipate we'll be able to manage within our budgeted amount, or do we think we are, at this point in time, thinking we may end up in a deficit?
Yeah, that's a good question. We actually haven't done that analysis yet. I've looked at some of the particular line items and reasons why. At this, about this time of year is when finance and bill will go through and do an estimate of what didn't anticipate come out at the end of the year. So, you know, we haven't done that complete analysis yet. I'm a little concerned. A lot of times you'll see if DPW's over a little bit, there'll be additional police or other areas we know we can go and get it. Our best bet this year is probably some of the COVID relief. I think if some of that goes back into the, you know, appropriate line items that it should be reimbursing, then we'd be okay. I certainly don't mind waiting till the end of the year to do that. You know, I don't want the money back in just that people spend it. So we can wait a little bit, but my guess is that's the best chance for making up some of these costs. We just don't have, you know, like we've had in prior years where we've got a large excess in one area to make up for a loss in another. It just doesn't seem to be working out that way this year.
No, that, I mean, you mentioned the COVID relief. The other thing that kind of was interesting to me, I know overall our percentage of revenue collected is the similar compared to this time last year, but one of the state government bills is in, so it seemed like a timing thing, and we have the COVID relief fund in there. So I feel like there's a couple of one timing, and then one was an unanticipated revenue that are helping us look like we're on track, as opposed to, like, if you normalize for those two things, I think we're a little bit behind. So it'll just be, as we get that estimate and identify, I'll just want to make sure we're going to use the COVID relief fund to offset expenses, then let's, you know, we don't want it in our revenue analysis. So okay. Any other questions for the Board of Selectmen or any other highlights? Okay. I think we're going to end up foregoing a Board of Education update unless if somebody on the meeting feels like they could give that update. You know, there is, Kevin did present, I will highlight that Kevin presented his budget proposal to the board last Tuesday, much like Bob did, I know, for the Board of Selectmen. There is a recording of that out on the Board of Canton Public Schools site, to the extent that anybody wanted that recording. And if you can't find it, let me know. We can get that distributed. All right. If there's and not anything else, do we have any new business to discuss? Bob, did you want to talk through the budget dates as new business?
I actually don't have them in front of me, but I did send them out.
Right.
The I think you have them. There's the 10th, I think, is the 14th, maybe is the Board of Selectmen.
It's Monday the 15th. Yeah, I can read it. Yeah, Monday the 15th is Board of Selectmen, and our regular monthly meeting will be right after that. So that's a longer night.
Then the 17th, St. Patrick's Day, is the Board of Education.
At 6
o'clock. Make sure I give us that day off, of course, but yeah. Then after, like I said, I don't have it in front of me. I sent it out. The one thing, though, that is going to get interesting, and Ben, I know you and I talked a little bit about this, but as we get out further into April, what those meetings are going to look like, we're not 100% sure at the moment. There may be, we have a public hearing that comes down towards the mid or end of April.
April 26th is currently when the public hearing is scheduled for.
Yeah, that's going to be, we're not sure whether that'll be an in-person public hearing or not, or a hybrid. There's a statute that was proposed by the governor that meetings going forward of that nature, whether it be a town meeting or public hearing, would have to be in a hybrid format, and that the town officials and people who want could be there in person, but it also had to be available to the rest of the public virtually if they wanted to participate in that manner, and they would actually be able to participate. We would have an obligation to determine who on those virtual meetings are qualified and able either to vote or to speak. And a few times that I've tried it so far, it's the time period it takes to determine people's eligibility is about twice as long as the actual length of the meeting. So they've got to figure out a way to quicken that up a little bit. My understanding is the governor's going to come out with some, I don't know, old recommendations or protocol for doing that. And then we're pretty certain at this point there will be an actual referendum. We're working on the process for that. One of the big questions is, can we do it? Can you have no excuse absentee ballots for that, like we did for the presidential election? As of right now, there's no authorization for it. And so we're looking at what the possibilities for that is. If that, then, you know, everybody's gonna have to show up, but unless you have a justifiable illness or excuse. But we're pretty certain that is going to be an actual referendum at that time. And we're working on the dates for that, too. We're checking with the Register of Voters and so forth. Make sure we have dates that are available.
Thank you. Does anybody have questions? Bob sent that out to us as an extra addendum today. Anybody have questions on the calendar?
Just want to make sure I'm not making any stupid mistakes here. So the times that we're actually meeting as a board are Monday the 15th of March, right? Wednesday the 17th of March, Monday the 29th of March is our workshop. And then we don't actually meet again until Monday the 26th of April, right? Is that right?
I think our regular monthly meeting will be Monday the 19th.
Finalize the budget, okay. But we don't, but the recommended budgets on the 5th and the 12th are not meetings for us, right? Questions by other boards?
Yeah, that's the time period that the other boards have an opportunity to look at the recommended budget by the Board of Finance and come back with any comments regarding those budgets.
Okay, so yeah. We meet, normal meeting then is the 19th of April?
Yes.
Okay, and then we
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but on April 5th, we have a recommended budget due back to the Board of Selectmen and Board of Education ideally we take care of that during the budget workshop mm-hmm. and we come to a conclusion and we make a recommendation. But like last year, I think we had open items from our budget workshop that okay. we had to circle back on, and we did end up meeting before that official date to say, what was it? So I feel like, and Bob Skinner, keep me honest, April 5th is the potential for a meeting. If we don't have the final, what's the budget that we are recommending back to the Board of Selectmen and Board of Education at the end of our budget workshop on the 29th.
Yeah, I mean, you can always have an additional meeting prior on that date or the other.
Right. Sometime we could have to do something before then, Sarah, if we don't get everything done in the budget workshop.
Good, that's why I wanted to check all this, to make sure that I got them all on the calendar. Okay, and then the 12th, is when they need to talk about them, and they revise their budgets as needed, if needed, right? And then
yeah, it's the day in which we need to get it back to the Board of Finance.
Okay, right.
And when do we need to get the flyer out, the budget flyer? Has that so here and ready to go? I don't have the schedule in front of me.
I don't know if that's on there. Is that?
It's not.
Actually, do we still send that out?
We do send it out.
Last year. Okay.
I think it's actually, and we need to check the dates. So Bob, that's a good question. I believe it was after we kind of finalized the budget and then
after
the referendum, right? So it's before the referendum. So it's after the town hearing on the 26th and it's before the referendum on the 13th is when we have to get that out.
Okay.
Oh, doesn't it go out before the hearing? People get it before the hearing.
It's posted to the town website before, so people have access to it, is the way. I don't think we send it before the hearing. We used to, Sarah, because I think the hearing was when we actually did the vote, too.
True.
We'll go back and confirm that. It's specified in the charter. We'll take a look at it.
Yeah, if you can check it, because people should know what the hearing's about before they walk into it. I had thought we had published it in advance of that, but you may be right, Jen, that last year was our first year with those changed dates.
Yeah.
And everything was a little bit different last year, even besides just the changed dates. So I think we did our best, but yes, we'll have to confirm when the charter says, because I was wondering the same thing. I don't think conceivably, based on the timeline here, there's enough to get a mailer out between the 19th and the 26th, unless if we essentially have it ready to go and people get it right before the hearing, which is maybe what happens.
That is what we did before. We got the whole thing laid out as best we could and then set it up so that if things shifted, it could be modified.
Right. Yeah, we were pretty close. I think we were pretty close to finding before we sent it out, before the final decisions got made, sure.
Okay.
What we did last year, I thought was very good too. We got a lot of good feedback on that.
Yeah.
People thought it was clear and.
You got it now.
Okay, we will confirm when it needs to be done. So thank you, that's a good open item. All right, are there any other comments or Bob?
Yeah, just real quick, I'm looking at the charter. Says at least 5 days prior to the day of the annual budget hearing, the Board of Finance will cause to be published on the town website in such a manner as may be required by general statutes. Lots of notice. Notice the date, time, and place of the annual budget hearing, together with the following: an itemized statement of actual revenues, an itemized statement of actual expenditures, the amount of the town's revenue surplus, and an itemized list from the Board of Selectmen and our Board of Education of all revisions to their respective budgets.
That sounds like the budget flyer.
But if it's only, does it have to be on the website only? Or is there any clarity as to when the official mailing happens?
It just says on the website. I think we decided to do a mailing. But I was thinking that it was changed, that it just had to be on the website. I'm looking at the charter now. I don't see it having to be a mailer. And it may be because, and also right now the dates are kind of compressed. It used to be you had more time period. Now they're they move along fairly quickly, so maybe that was another thought too.
I would think before we went to the referendum, we would want to have a mailer go out. I mean, I wouldn't want to leave it at just posting it on the website. I don't think we have a whole lot of traffic on the website. And if we really want people to be informed and coming in to vote, knowing what they're doing, it seems as if a mailer would be pretty important.
I also worry about disenfranchising people who don't have internet access.
I have the flyer from last year on the flyer. It says virtual public meeting. Monday, May 4th, 2020. So the flyer went out before that meeting. It's stated on there. Go ahead, Jen. Sorry.
Thank you. So I think, guys, the question is, I think we can only do one mailing. We did it before the public hearing, which was technically before we had sent what the finalized budget was that you're sending to referendum. Right, because that's one concept of the public hearing that's part of the charter, is if we hear something that would lead us to change, you know, what we would recommend is the final town budget, we can. So the question becomes, when do we want to put information that's hard copy into the constituents' hands? Is it before that public hearing and their opportunity to voice, you know, and input our final decision, or is it after we've got the final budget and we're, you know, helping them understand what are we asking them to vote on the 13th. And it sounds to me, Bob Skinner, that it's unclear from the charter that there has to be something sent. We would give the information to the public in both instances, right, via the website and other, you know, electronic means. But as far as what we give as a hard copy, seems like we have a choice as to which one we think would be the best, serve the best needs, best meet the needs of the constituents.
Yeah, I mean, it's got, by charter, it's got to go on the town website. I guess the question is, it sounds like some members want to send it out as a flyer also. If that's the case, then you just need to be able to move fairly quickly. You know, if you have a meeting on the 19th, that's your regular meeting, and you put on there, you know, final approval of budget for the public hearing, and if the public hearing is on the 26th, that gives you 1 week to try to get it done out in the mail. That's probably not going to happen. So you'd have to try to have a meeting in advance of that. In the Board of Selectmen, Board of Education gets the budget back to the Board of Finance by April 12th. You would have to have a meeting almost on that Monday, the 12th. So push your 19th meeting up by 1 week in order to be able to get that done and get the newsletter out or the budget letter out prior to the public hearing on the 26th.
So I'm going to suggest that in thinking about this, last year we didn't have a referendum. We had, you know, we made the decision and didn't go to referendum. But this year, hopefully, we will go to referendum. So I'm thinking it's more important for people to have a paper copy before they vote than it would be to come to the annual meeting. But I'm thinking the two documents are not going to look very different. So if the first one before the hearing is electronic and it's on the website, and we use the email list for the town and send it out that way with the public notice for the annual meeting, annual budget hearing, that they get the copy at that point, and the text in it looks very much like what the ultimate one will be, the explanation of what went up, what went down, the pie chart. You know, I think those things are helpful, and then we do a final one for print after the budget hearing, the revisions that are made at that point. That's what I would recommend.
I think that makes sense, Sarah, but I would just urge that we use all means at our disposal to get the word out about that, about whatever we're putting up on the web before the public hearing, because, you know, we've just seen over and over again that people are not aware of what's on the town website. And so we have to do more to help people be aware of what's on the town website.
I'm going to agree with
Katie,
thank you. I read the name on the screen. I haven't seen the moment. With Katie on that, and I don't have a problem of printing one out and mailing it before the 26th, so they have it in hand for the annual budget meeting. If I'm right, I think that's what we've always done in the past. I know when they came for the referendum, they had them on the tables out front. And I also know a lot of people, that's the first time they saw them. And my reaction has been, well, we mailed it to you. But, you know, I'm not going to get in an argument with anybody over that. But I believe that if we send it out, I feel better for our constituents. They are getting the information.
The only question I would have is if you sent it out in advance and you made some sort of changes, especially if they were significant, after the public hearing, people are going to have in their hand information that is going to be different than what they're going to be voting on at the referendum. In the past, we never really had a referendum, so it didn't matter as much. The public hearing was the thing you really wanted to get information out to them in advance. So I guess if you're only going to send out one mailer, which makes sense to me, you would do it after the public hearing. Mm-hmm. So you do everything you can electronically and otherwise in advance of the public hearing. Mm-hmm. And then be ready to go as soon as the public hearing's over with the written document that would go out to the public. And then that they'd have in their hand when they go to a referendum. So they'd have accurate information for the referendum.
I understand.
Guys, one at a time. Bob Bestel, I think you're trying to say something.
Yeah, I just looked at my files here. And we had a good working draft going in April 13th and 14th. The final was dated the 21st. I believe that our budget hearing and approval process was the 9th of May.
Yeah, I think, Bob, to Ken's point, and then Ken, I know you had a question, so after I see this, I think
here
is something that we just have to remember too. In the middle of the budget process, we learned that we weren't going to be able to have a referendum, and it was going to be the vote of the Board of Selectmen and the Board of Finance, you know, and so we ended up deciding, I believe, we pushed back the date of the public hearing. We got the mailer out so that we could get it in their hands before the public hearing, because that was their one opportunity to vote, for lack of a better word. Whereas this year, we are relatively confident we will have both. We'll have a public hearing and we will have a referendum, which is the official voting process. My recommendation would be to say, multiple people have said this, if we're going to do a hard copy mailer, we do it so they have what's in hand, what they're voting on the 13th, which would be after the 26th. Yeah. Ken, did you have more you wanted to say?
No, I just wanted to clarify what Mr. Skinner was saying on that. Thinking back over the process of over the last past years, and I agree with you, Jen, that when they go in for the referendum, they have to have the hard copy. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to accelerate it. What Kathy was saying, or Katie was saying, was to have to make sure everybody has their information. We do have some local papers that we can post in there and say, hey, go to the website. You have the information. Maybe actually post the link in the paper. We will get some hits off of that. I know we're not going to get a massive amount of hits, but that will also help educate the people out there where to get that information. One of the feedbacks on our isolation that we've been doing for the last year, people who are computer savvy are becoming very computer savvy because they're being forced to. So I have a great faith in the public, but they're becoming very computer wise to be able to do a link. I know some people will never get to know how to use a computer, just like some people will never drive a car. But overall, the public has become a lot more computer savvy, a lot more comfortable going out and getting information on the internet. So,
There are a lot of, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I've got a question for Bob. Bob Esler, either Bob, actually. Were we looking for an IT sort of social media specialist to hire for the town? Will that person be in place by April?
Yeah, we're looking for an IT person. In fact, we have interviews on Thursday. If one of those interviews pans out, they will probably be, they should be on board by April, but they'll be green.
Well, maybe this is the way
they'll be in the midst of an early training process.
The reason I ask is because I think we're going to have to be pretty savvy about getting the word out, because people really don't look at the website. The blast that goes out for the town, a lot of people get, but not everybody. So we need to be able to get onto the social media that other people are using. And there are a number of Facebook pages in Canton. There is stuff at the library for the seniors. I think it'd be good to have, and it may be good to centralize this under the new IT person to say, this is a task for you. You know, reach out, put out as many tentacles as you can to try to make sure people are informed. We may want to do sandwich boards on the road.
They're responsible for, you know, network, our computers, you know, all those kind of things. I mean, certainly they can help in that area as far as technology, just helping us to put information up. But really finding those locations, crafting the message, all those kind of things really should be left up to somebody else. Linda Smith handles a lot of it.
Okay.
She could do quite a bit. And if we
could take it upon ourselves to do things like coming up with a list of town Facebook groups to try to get that posted to, that might be helpful, because I don't think we can't expect her to know about every Canton parents group or every thing that's out there on Facebook. But a lot of us, if we kind of put our heads together, might be able to come up with a good list.
I think that'd be a great idea. I mean, I completely agree with you, Katie, that, you know, we need to communicate in every possible way and just assume that, you know, that they won't get it unless we hit their particular channel. I've been in the communications game for years, and that's what I found. Just try everything, and guaranteed there'll be somebody who comes up to you and say, I never heard about any of this, you know, and meanwhile, you're saying, my God, but we have to try.
As part of our closing meeting on the 19th, and we can even do it beforehand, but we won't leave our meeting on the 19th without what is the quote unquote blurb, for lack of a better, you know, like we need to have a public service thing for people to go out and post, just highlighting the highlights of the budget, highlighting the link to where you find it, and highlighting the date of the town meeting. And make sure that I agree with you, Katie, there's a lot of communication vehicles that just we have within our control that you can post as a citizen, but we need to be consistent, I think, in messaging. Yes. And we can reach out to Collinsville Press, John Fitz, others to make sure that, you know, there is some kind of a communication leading up to that meeting on the 26th.
Yeah. Okay. Happy to help.
Real quick, as Andrew, Sarah and Katie, I totally agree with the whole Facebook group and trying to get on different Facebook groups and put up posts to communicate with people, because I was going to be jumping in and saying that, offering that idea. There's two groups. I grew up in Collinsville, Canton, Connecticut chat, or just those two groups of 5,100 people between the two of them. But just be aware maybe what the group rules are prior to posting in there. I'm on the I grew up in Collinsville, Connecticut page now, and an admin posted on here the Kelly, I can't pronounce her last name, Ellen Brand, I think is how you say it. She posted and she says no political posts. I don't know what that means. I mean, we're just talking about a town meeting.
Right. So this is government. I mean, this is public service. It's not political taking a side on anything. It's here's the town budget.
That's what I figured she probably means, but you know,
anyone
can post in there once you're a member of the group. So if she doesn't like it, I mean, she can say something.
I drop in on that group periodically, and there were some people that were trashing one party or the other, and so that's what that was about. I've posted public meetings on there before.
I
never gotten any feedback,
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So you got 5,100 people just between those two groups alone. Never mind anything else I don't know about.
Yeah, there are a couple other PTO kind of groups and mothers groups in town. So there, we'll have to make a list. There's, I like Katie's idea of putting our heads together, because I think we can figure out who they are. There are quite a number of groups actually.
Yeah. And free.
Yeah, the only I would caution you on is when you get close to the referendum, I believe there's some different rules that apply then. So before the public hearing, it's not a problem. Once we start getting closer to the referendum, we need to be just a little more careful about it.
Yeah, so it really should be just one person doing the posts. That way the message is consistent and we can all, you don't have multiple people kind of sending out, same basic idea of a message, but some of the details may be a little off.
Yeah, I mean, all I'm envisioning for the post is that we tell people that it's coming up and here's where you can go find more information.
Yeah,
I agree with Sarah on that one. Just here's the post, this is where you get the information. And just make sure everybody will know. I got to say it every year, I don't know why, but just remember when we get all this stuff going, we can't, as board members, tell the public which way to vote on this.
We just want them to be informed about the process. Yeah.
Again, I like the takeaway. Everybody can come to the, come up with their Facebook groups. Andrew, I like your suggestion of one person. I'd be happy to, as the chair, be the person who posts something to at least as many as I'm a member of, or to the extent that I need to ask for more, I can. And I agree with the comment. We keep it factual. It's 100% factual. It's not political. Public service and its communication of where they can go for more information and who they can contact. I think Bill and Bob, one question I will have is, do we need to have the Town of Canton budget questions or whatever the email site that was there, is that still a vehicle that we'll be using going through this budget process, or are we using more Bill and I? Because I know that's something we've been doing as public forum leading up to now.
I thought it was very helpful last year, and I think it stimulated, it created a good atmosphere where people felt that they were being heard, that they could speak up, and we were getting their feedback. So I'm all for it.
That's good feedback, because I didn't really know if they felt that they were being heard or not when we were listening. And I know it's important that your constituents understand we do listen, i.e. read their emails on that.
Yeah. Well, it's a fundamental complaint that people have these days, is that, they don't feel that we are listening, they've lost faith in their government, they've lost trust. And it starts with just listening and letting them know that they've been heard. So very critical.
Okay. All right. Any other hopefully that sounds like a good plan forward. Any other comments or questions from the group? All right. I'm gonna move this forward to the approval of the minutes from our Board of Finance meeting on January 25th. Does anybody have any questions? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to approve the Board of Finance meeting minutes as posted on page 41.
Move they be approved as written.
Ken? All right. All those in favor, say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Answer aye.
Okay. Motion carries 6-0. We have a couple of informational items from the minutes that were shared. And we just went through our meetings that we have coming up here listed. And so with that, if there's no other comments, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Andrew and Ken, got it? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I couldn't let Kathy do it.
You're always jumping in there, right, honey?
There we go.
I know it's Katie, too.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy, and I'll see you all in a couple of weeks. All right.
All right. All right.